The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
By the way, I took this case because I actually thought if it was true that he lied to the Chicago Police Department about something like a hate crime, when we've got all these social issues in our country, we're trying to make sure that we do the right thing when these kind of bad things have happened, for him to fake a hate crime, fake it, and then cause the police department to spend enormous efforts taking him off of homicide cases and putting them on this case, I thought that was bad conduct. I mean, it was not insignificant. I thought it was serious criminal misconduct that needed to be approached and have a public trial about it. Now that he's compounded his wrongdoing by lying to a jury, which they've obviously determined from the verdict today, he's compounded his misconduct in this city, and we'll let the judge decide what to do.
That is the prosecutor commenting on the convictions yesterday for Jesse Smollett, the race hoaxer, I guess you could call him, created this hate crime, made it up. He's a Hollywood actor, and he got a couple of actors to help him, not white ones, which is kind of funny to me if he's out to show how everyone in America who's white is racist. But he hires two black Nigerians to carry out the attack. And it was exposed right from the start as an obvious fraud. And I resisted as long as I could to comment on it because it's just one guy. But it certainly does typify everything that's wrong with the communist Democrats, with the corrupt media, and just with the culture that we see, the critical race theory that's been debated about in school board sessions and such. So we'll comment on this case here in the first segment, among other things, if we have time, and also we'll conclude today's show with a Bible study at the end. So you want to hang around for that as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream video of this show every day exclusively at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Comes on at 11 a.m. in the Central Standard Time Zone for the United States. And just go to thetrumpet.com/live if you want to get to the live stream page or the podcast as they're posted after the fact. So the New York Post, just to talk about some of the attacks here of late that have gotten more, quite a lot of press coverage. It says here, the Smollett attack, and again, it was all a hoax, we now know, played into every myth of progressive advocates that gangs of white supremacists roam the streets of our nations looking to attack African Americans. And the media, you know, really, you have to blame the media for much of this, even for the fact that Smollett would try to create this hate crime, because the media and their allies, really the Democrat Party, if you want to get to root causes, it's the Democrats. Even the story this week about the economy, the Biden people, that is to say Obama, upset about the way the press is covering the economy. And so they met with several high-ranking officials in the press and said, hey, you need to start talking about the economy as if everything's going great. And, of course, the media, they're happy to oblige. In the case of this, the media, they have been there. And the Democrats, I'll read you some of the Democratic tweets here in just a second. It's just shameful what these people said, all in unison. As soon as Jesse Smollett said that he had been attacked and that it was a hate crime and that it was because he was outspoken against Donald Trump, they all respond in unison. And then the media, they join on They pile it on. But it says here, everything fits into that narrative. Older Asians attacked by mentally ill black man on the subway. White supremacy! White guy kills two other white guys in self-defense. White supremacy! Two Nigerians sprinkle bleach on a D-lister. And of course, all of them involved are black. And sure enough, the problem is white supremacy. That's from the New York Post this morning. The major media, they didn't have too much to say about the guilty verdict handed down yesterday from a jury that deliberated for just 9 hours. They heard testimony for 5 days or so. And then they said, yeah, he's guilty. He lied to the police multiple times. The Chicago Police Department, they devoted all of these resources, all of this money, all of this time. They were trying to secure all of this this camera footage from neighbors that just lived in the general vicinity of this supposed attack. And it's not like the Chicago PD doesn't have anything to worry about or do or to concern itself with. They've passed 800 homicides. It just in that city alone, this year, the year's not even over. I mean, I guess they're aiming for 900, maybe 1,000. Actual crimes, murder, homicide, hundreds and hundreds of them. And yet we were told, and have been, really, not just 3 years ago, with this fraud, with this hoax, but we've been told that the greatest danger facing this nation, it's coming from white supremacy. Well, tell that to all the people just being shot up in Chicago. The overwhelming majority of it being black-on-black crime. And nobody does or says anything about it. And you've even got people like this creating this elaborate hoax, going through even the acting lessons with these two Nigerians. Here's how we want to do it. Here's how we want to be positioned. This is where the camera's going to catch you attacking me. Now, don't hurt me, but you certainly got to make it look like I'm getting roughed up. And then all the racial slur, the homophobic slurs, those definitely put those in. And then the noose. You've got to add the noose. So he goes out in the middle of the night. 2 a.m., I guess it was, on the coldest night of the year, supposedly to get a Subway sandwich. And here come the two attackers. Of course, they're wearing MAGA hats. They've got to be Trump supporters because they're the dangerous ones. And of course, at that time, too, he just had, I think he was in the last year of his contract with that TV program he played a character on. So, just a total narcissist and a racist and a liar. A liar as well. And the media, that's the most disturbing part of the whole story. Because they were there. They were there creating the narrative even before Jussie Smollett came along. And you have to ask yourself, if this is a problem, if it's as bad as what the media and Democrats are saying, why do they have to create so many fake hate crimes? It's not like Jussie Smollett is alone in this. They pop up all the time. They're just not as high profile because it's typically not actors doing it. But you hear it about it's in college campuses, you know, this happened or that happened. And over and again, we're finding it's just one hoax after another. So here he creates this elaborate hoax. He hires two Nigerians to carry out the attack, and he pays them by check, $3,500. And then the media, you know, the media that would swoon over Barack Obama, they worshipped the Obamas. The Obamas are pretty close to Jussie Smollett, by the way, just so that you know. But here he is in a sit-down with Robin Roberts telling his story. And I mean, it brought tears to his eyes. He was able to, even though it was totally fake, he was able to really turn on the emotion. This is clip two.
Why do you think you were targeted?
I can just assume. I mean, I come really, really hard against 45. I come really, really hard against his administration. And I don't hold my tongue.
The fake attack was in January of 2019. And then that interview was soon after, February 17, I guess it says there. And there she is. Why were you targeted? Because of Trump. It's always Trump. Trump. It wasn't just that the media hopped on board with this man's story and said, wow, what does this say about America? They took it all the way to the White House. It's Donald Trump's fault. Donald Trump is the reason this man was attacked. It's because of his criticism for 45, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. I mean, he doesn't hold his tongue. He was pretty outspoken in his criticism of Donald Trump. And you know what that, that generates? It generates hate crimes. Now just think for a moment. How many people who were so much more outspoken against Trump for 4 years attacked him at every turn? And how many of those people were attacked by Trump supporters? And look, at the reason why, as I say, this story is revealing, is it illustrates, it shows you what they're aiming for with January 6th. I mean, that's still the topic a year on. Turn on Morning Joe. Nothing this morning, at least not in the first hour, on Jesse Smollett. But there's plenty on January 6th. I mean, they've got to get to the bottom of it. All of these Trump supporters that are murdering people. And the only two people who were killed in that protest, two women, I think one of them was more natural causes, but they were both Trump-supporting women. There's a little bit of Jesse Smollett in your typical journalist working at MSNBC. They went right after the hoax. They swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. They ran with it. They criticized anyone who would dare criticize the story as the facts began to emerge. And they're taking their marching orders from the Democrat Party. And the leader of the Democrat Party is Barack Obama. Kamala Harris, she said, Jesse Smollett is one of the kindest, most gentle human beings I know. So he has to be right. He has to be telling the truth. It says here, this was an attempted modern-day lynching. A modern-day lynching! And it was a total hoax. Cory Booker said the same thing. He ran for president. So did Kamala. They both said it was a modern-day lynching. Joy Reid at MSNBC, she said, nooses never really disappeared. See, it's just happening all the time. There was a noose involved in the, what was it, Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR guy. Turned out to be just a rope that pulls down a garage door. But no, they saw a noose! And how many FBI agents were, how many were assigned to that case? Kim Fox wanted this to go to the FBI right away. They wanted the FBI to come in and investigate the attack on Jesse Smollett because it was a hate crime. They wanted to bring in the feds. And then when the facts started to turn up, and then when they started to see, hey, this is a hoax, then Kim Fox changed her tune immediately. She wanted to drop all charges against Smollett that he had lied to the police. The Chicago PD were understandably angry by this. The fact that they were being played. The fact that they devoted so many resources to this liar. Alexander Ocasio-Cortez, it's a lot easier to say AOC, I guess. There's no such thing as racially charged. This attack was not possibly homophobic. She has possibly in quotes. She says it was a racist and homophobic attack. Don't say it's possibly a homophobic attack. It is! She knows. Bernie Sanders, the racist and homophobic attack on Jesse Smollett is a horrific instance of the surging hostility toward minorities around the country. And by minorities, he means black people, not Asians. Not Asians being attacked by blacks. Let's cover that up. We don't care about the Asians. This is what we're focused on. These statements, they're so far beyond the pale. It's even worse than the propagandists in the media. These are people that ran for president or who is the vice president of the United States. Well, we don't want to overlook the fake president, Joe Biden. He said this. What happened today to Jussie Smollett? What happened today? See, he knows right away what happened, what the facts are. What happened today to Jussie Smollett must never be tolerated in this country. We must stand up and demand that we no longer give this hate safe harbor, that homophobia and racism have no place in our streets or in our hearts. Rashida Tlaib, she's the one that wants to release all of the prisoners in America over a 10-year period. She said, when one of the most famous black and gay men in America is not safe, the message is clearer than it ever has been. The dangerous lies spewing from the right wing is killing and hurting our people. See, it's the Trump supporters. They're to be blamed. That's what Smollett himself said. And there's Robin Roberts nodding along. Yeah. They all bought it. They all believed it. And a lot of them, even when you listen to them today, as they try to explain it away, it's rare that you see someone that says, we got it flat out wrong, and we're totally embarrassed. Sorry. We're sorry that we did this. We're sorry about how we reported on this. Listen to this montage, clip 3.
According to the court records, Smollett was very clear with police on the night of the attack that his attackers were white. He said they had masks on and gloves, but he saw their eyes and he saw the skin surrounding their eyes. Was that a false statement?
So, you know, I was looking up the brothers, and one of the first videos that showed up actually was one of the brothers in white face doing a Joker monologue with white makeup on. And so it's not implausible.
You tweeted, let's call it what it is, a vicious hate crime. Kirsten Gillibrand wrote, it's the latest of too many hate crimes against LGBTQ people and people of color. And both Cory Booker and Kamala Harris called it a modern-day lynching.
We acted on the facts as we knew at the time.
Until somebody can show me some proof otherwise, yeah. I'm going with him.
People don't know what to believe, and we may never really know what happened on the street that night in Chicago.
Listen, he is so adamant about it, and he's so convincing in his story that I'm just hoping and standing with him, hoping that it all turns out mm-hmm. in his favor.
I feel bad for the people who did not default to that empathy, who think that this is a game, who are gloating today. Those people have something fundamentally wrong with them.
But activists, actors, Hollywood celebrities, friends of Smollett, Democratic presidential candidates, they all wanted to sound like they were doing the right thing, saying the right thing, standing up for a victim.
The police have said he's been consistent, that he has been credible, that he has been cooperative.
The way he told the story and what he said happened to him sort of fit in with a reality for a lot of people in this country since President Trump was inaugurated.
We know in America that bigoted and biased attacks are on the rise.
And Senator Cory Booker said the vicious attack on actor Jussie was an attempted modern-day lynching.
Kamala Harris calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
Which tweet? What tweet?
About saying that it is a modern-day lynching that...
Sorry.
Yes. Jussie Smollett.
And there is no doubt in your mind what motivated this attack.
I could only go off of their words. I mean, who says empire, this MAGA country, ties a noose around your neck and pours bleach on you, and this is just a friendly fight? I will never be the man that this did not happen to. I am forever changed.
Says the reporter. I'll never be the man that this. All right. I love the guy who said he's so adamant. I hope it's true. I just hope it's true. I mean, listen to how adamant in this clip he's able to turn on the tears. This is from Newsweek. Fox and the state attorney's office decided to drop all charges against Smollett in exchange for Smollett performing community service. So they wanted it to just go away. After it was shown to be a hoax, then the propagandists tried to cover it up. This is the media. They weren't angry that they were lied to or anything like that. They tried to cover up the hoax. The media, and I should say the district attorney, says this decision was decided by then Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who called the dropping of a charge a whitewashing of justice. He derided the decision. Even Rahm Emanuel, it says, Fox additionally faced criticism from Chicago police, who maintained that Smollett had fabricated the event. Additionally, the Fraternal Order of Police, Chicago's police union, called for Fox to step down from her post. While the original charges were dropped, Smollett was eventually indicted for a second time on 6 charges of disorderly conduct after additional evidence against him was uncovered. So this other prosecutor has to come along and say, look, it's so damning. There's so much evidence. And clearly, he just lied over and over again to law enforcement. We've got to do something. When you heard the prosecutor there at the top, he took the hoax right into the courtroom and continued with the big lie. He's still lying. He perjured himself in court. So he told the lie to law enforcement. He went on TV, lied. And then it's exposed as a fraud and a hoax, and he continues to lie. Not one ounce of remorse. You don't see 1 ounce of remorse in that montage we just played either. They kind of talk around it. That, well, I mean, come on. We may never know all of the details. What's on camera? Most of it's on camera. It's kind of like AOC talking about the smash and grabs. The data doesn't back it up. Well, it's on TV. You can see it. It says, while the original charges were, I read that, a jury found him guilty on 5 of 6 charges. And then it quotes commentator Dinesh D'Souza, who called Fox complicit in the attempt to cover up Jussie's hate crime, even if there weren't charges found guilty for it. D'Souza also expressed anger that Fox had reportedly been coerced into dropping Smollett's original charges by former First Lady Michelle Obama. Here come the Obamas. The Obamas to the rescue. Hey, Kim, you need to drop these charges. So what if it's a hoax? I mean, this could have happened. It could have happened at any city around the United States. Yes, the Obamas and Jussie. Jussie and the Obamas. Both Fox as well as Smollett have been claimed to have a relationship with the Obamas. Yeah, they're all friends in Chicago. You know, MAGA country, downtown Chicago. I think that was the first tip that this was a hoax. This is Obama country. And you want, if Obama was involved in getting Kim Fox to drop the charges initially, you wonder how involved the Obamas might have been initially in the hoax itself. I mean, I don't think you can rule it out. In America Under Attack, remember this start to the second chapter. Who's the reporter? Hastings, Michael Hastings. He said this openly with another journalist. He talked about how they swooned before Obama. And they still do. Brian Williams just signed off last night after 28 years of a lot of lies, by the way. But he signs off of his MSNBC show, and he talks about how that we're still in just such dark and dangerous times because of Trump supporters. And he said there's this listing of clips at Newsbusters where over the years, he's talking about Obama, how that we're never going to see another orator, another world leader like him again. I mean, they just swoon before Obama. Obama can do no wrong. My father says this. The reporter, even Hastings himself, admitted to getting caught up in this behavior around the president. I do, he laughed. I told, oh man, I swoon as well. This reporter thought this was funny. Is it really funny? No, it's an unparalleled, colossal disaster. Hastings described an opportunity he had to ask questions of the president. Did I ask the hardball questions, he admitted with a smile? No, I didn't. Opting instead to ask the soft questions. Why would that happen? Can Satan have such an influence? Yes, he can. And that's only the beginning. Further on, he says, without a free and truthful media, a republic cannot survive. A republic cannot survive without a free and truthful media. We'll talk about this a bit more after the break and a few other subjects as well. So make sure that you stay with us. Call our operators, by the way, and request America Under Attack. That's the booklet I just quoted from there. 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Experts say there are new signs of economic recovery fueling a wave of optimism across the country. I do love these good news economic stories that we've been able to tell the last few days.
Have been some promising developments, including on inflation.
We've created 6 million jobs this year. That's more than any president in history has created in his first year in office. One reason we've created so many jobs, last year at this time, no Americans were fully vaccinated. Today, over 70% of all adults in this country are fully vaccinated. Getting America vaccinated is getting America back to work.
To me, we have the strongest economy perhaps I have ever seen. See that number this morning, the unemployment number? It's the best in years, not best in 69. We have all spotted the endless help wanted signs, the housing and apartment shortages, the tremendous demand for goods and services, a marvel to behold. Oh, people are confident about their jobs. I say fantastic. And the ability to even get better ones if they want to. They're spending more than I've ever seen, but they're doing it with cash, not on credit. They're doing so in a roaring 20s style.
Big economic relief for millions of Americans who have been dealing with soaring energy prices. Cost at the pump, finally easing up. With the national average for a gallon of regular falling to $3.35, the lowest since October. Just look at that. Can we just celebrate the good news? Good to see you. Can we just celebrate this some good news just for a minute? I'll take it where I can get it.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself because I filled my tank just a few days ago. It was $64 when I filled up my tank, and I should have waited.
There's your propagandists in the media taking their marching orders from Obama's people that, hey, all of this bad economic news, we've got to change the narrative. We've got to create another hoax. Tell everybody it's just perfect. It's never been better. And like I say, they give the game away. It's just like Michael Hastings. He goes in front of another reporter and says, yeah, I mean, Obama can do no wrong. I didn't ask him the hardball questions. I swooned. This is from Brian Stelter's Reliable Sources newsletter. He sent this out December 6th, so 4 days ago. It says here, the White House, that would be Obama. Remember, the White House is full of Obama's people. The White House, not happy with the news media's coverage of the supply chain and economy, has been working behind the scenes trying to reshape coverage in its favor. It says here, senior White House and administration officials, including NEC deputy directors David Kamen and Barrett Ramarudi, along with Ports envoy John Pakari, have been briefing major newsrooms over the past week, a source tells me. The officials have been discussing with newsrooms trends pertaining to job creation, economic growth, supply chains, and more. The basic argument that has been made, that the country's economy is in much better shape than it was last year. Did you know this? I didn't either. But the media, the propagandists were, I mean, they rushed to carry out the orders from Obama. And Brian Stelter lays it all out, the strategy, the newsrooms, and then the coverage. I'm told the conversations have been productive, with anchors and reporters and producers getting to talk with the officials. Well, I should say they've been productive. Look at the montage we just played for you. It always pays off. They're in collusion. It's the Democrats that run the media, the Pravda media, the propagandists in the media. They take their marching orders from, and when you say the Democrat Party, you go all the way to the top. That's unique to this program, by the way. Others want to stop at wherever, Andy McCabe with the Russia collusion hoax. But it goes to Obama in all of these cases. It was Obama who got Kim Fox, a district attorney, to drop the charges against Jussie Smollett. And the media, they're not there as the watchdogs of government. They're the lapdogs of the Obamas. And so all of them, it's a Biden boom, and no one has noticed yet. That's from the Washington Monthly. While many people are uncomfortable communicating bad news, Democrats have a problem these days talking about good news, especially on the economy. Based on the data, President Biden and the Democratic Congress are set to preside over the strongest two-year performance on growth, jobs, and income in decades. Meanwhile, the dollar is just becoming more and more worthless because of the out-of-control inflation, the worst in 40 years. Americans know what's going on. Americans see what 7 cents. Don Lemon's going to start singing solos on TV because of 7 cents down from what, $3.50? $3.50 per gallon? And it's down 7 cents. And these millionaires are telling us, man, finally, so much relief. The Biden boom. Jim Cramer says it's better than he's ever seen. These people are all, they're all part of the conspiracy. You look at Jussie Smollett and you see that there are no limitations on how far they're willing to go to just flat out lie. To flat out lie. This was an MSNBC headline following the guilty verdict yesterday. MSNBC, Jussie Smollett's guilty verdict just made it even harder for victims of crimes. So he should have been made innocent so that we can make it easier for victims of hate crimes? Jussie Smollett's guilty verdict just made it harder for victims of hate crimes. So what does MSNBC propose we do? What are they suggesting here? Does the truth matter? Evidently not. Truth fails, just like your Bible prophesies. The truth doesn't matter at all. What matters is what we tell you, what Kamala Harris tweets, or Joe Biden. Look at how quickly they rushed to tweet about Smollett and the crimes supposedly committed against him, or to tweet about Rittenhouse last year, the fact that he's a white supremacist.
And then when you have a massacre in Waukesha, it's silence, crickets, nothing. Nothing from the Democrats and nothing from the media. They just ignore it. The Washington Post, Jussie Smollett, guilty verdict, latest in polarizing case. Polarizing case? Well, why is it polarizing? It's because the Democrats and their allies in the media are there to tell you that these kinds of incidents are happening all over the place. There's nooses everywhere. It's a modern day lynching. Going back to this quote from my father in America Under Attack, without a free and truthful media, without a free and truthful media, a republic cannot survive. This morning in doctrines class, we talked about truth and the spirit of truth, the spirit behind truth. Notice what it says in 1 John 4. In verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So, true Christians, we do have access to tremendous power, as I've covered this week on the program for our Bible studies. The power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit, as it says here in 1 John 4, the Spirit of truth. Verse 5, it says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God," says John. "He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." As I was telling the students this morning, it's not enough to even just know the truth. We've got to know the spirit behind it. That's why this booklet is so powerful. Because you get to chapter 2, you read what Michael Hastings said about the impact this Antiochus figure had on all in the media. There's a spirit behind that. And we've got to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In the Last Hour book, my father writes this. This is on page 4. Here's another one. We haven't plugged this that often, but call our operators today and request The Last Hour by Gerald Fleury. The 800 number is 866-930-3024. It's toll-free in the United States and in Canada. You can call our operators today and secure your free copy of The Last Hour, America Under Attack. That's 1-866-930-3024. So my father writes, this is on page 14. He says, "The test of the spirit is the ultimate test. No false leader comes right out and says Christ is not coming in his or her flesh. We must look at the person's deeds. We've got to look at their deeds. Only Christ can reveal the difference between a true and false prophet." You can read about what Jesus said in Matthew 24, that people are going to come saying, "I am Christ," or "I'm representing Christ." How are you going to know if it's a true apostle of God or a false apostle? God praises the brethren of the first era of the church. You can see this in Revelation 2. He praises them for exposing false apostles, ministers who said they were telling the truth when in fact they were lying. We need the spirit of truth, or else we're going to be deceived. We need to know the spirit of truth, or else we're going to be easily deceived. You know, I mentioned in this example in class, there was a minister in the Worldwide Church of God who helped Herbert Armstrong assemble some of the content that he put together for Mystery of the Ages. And at the last year of his life, Herbert Armstrong was 93. He was virtually blind. So he needed an assistant. He needed a scribe to help him pull together the material that you now have in Mystery of the Ages. This wonderful book is his most important work. And we offer this, just like we offer all of our other literature, at no cost to you. No cost, no obligation. Call the toll-free number and request Mystery of the Ages today. Well, he credits this assistant that he had at the start of Mystery of the Ages. He said, I want to give special thanks to the one who helped me pull all of this together. I talked to that man, that assistant, some years ago, and I asked him about Mystery of the Ages and the work that he put in helping Mr. Armstrong with that project. And he said to me, oh, that was a fun book to write. It was so fun to write that book. He seemed to take a fair bit of credit. That was a fun book to write. I really enjoyed that project. Now, I'm sure he looks at Mystery of the Ages even to this day and believes that it's full of truth. Okay, but compare his statement about, that was a fun book to write, to what Mr. Armstrong said before he died when he was handing out Mystery of the Ages to the sophomore class at Ambassador College. Mr. Armstrong said, in real fact, I feel I myself did not write it. Rather, I believe God used me in writing it. Mr. Armstrong just gave God the credit, as he should have. You read and study the message, and you know that that didn't come from some man. God inspired that. That's what Mr. Armstrong emphasized to those sophomores in the Fundamentals of Theology class. God inspired me. He inspired the writing of this book. Whereas the other one, the scribe, the assistant, just kind of said, hey, it was a fun project. Yeah, it was a fun book to write. Now, the spirit behind those two statements, it tells you a lot about those two individuals, about Herbert Armstrong, and just how yielded he was to God and his power. And the other one who just went down with the ship. Yeah, he was with Takachism all the way until, I think, 1995, and then he left for a splinter group somewhere. It's astounding to me that someone who worked on content or helped Mr. Armstrong pull together content that was so deep, truth revealed from God, revealed by God. It's astounding to me that someone that was immersed in so much depth could say things that were so shallow. Well, the Bible says that we need to know not just the truth, we need to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a real spirit world. There is a real spirit world behind so much of this propaganda and so many of these lies that we see on a daily basis. Even the way the headlines are crafted and the way the narrative is established, the way they never go back to correct the record. Why wouldn't Morning Joe take just a few moments this morning to say, you know what, the initial reporting we did on this story, we got it wrong, and we want to make it right. As it is, they just ignore it. They ignore it when it's exposed as a hoax, and they continue on with their other hoaxes. January 6th, case in point. It's the same with the election steal. It's the same with so many of the biggest, hottest topics of our day. So many lies. So many hoaxes. The spirit of error running through it all. My father writes in America Under Attack, what happens when most of the media just follow along with whatever the president says? He's speaking of Barack Obama. What is going on? That is totally aberrant behavior. It seems these supposed professionals have lost all consciousness of their responsibility as journalists. And then he makes this statement that I've read a couple times already. Without a free and truthful media, a republic cannot survive. It says, why aren't more people talking about this dangerous trend? This is serious, beyond measure. What you see there is a direct symptom of the spiritual reality I described in the first chapter, the first chapter of America Under Attack. He says, the devil, who comes as an angel of light, is using his powers of deceit and intimidation to get a stranglehold on this nation. He comes as an angel of light. Sounds so sweet and innocent. Kamala saying that about Jesse? Oh, He's the nicest guy I know. Yeah, of course. And he was so adamant when he talked about the attack. I really hope it's true. I just hope it. I hope it holds up in court. These are people that, I mean, high-profile people, the elites, who actually made statements like this. We better know the spirit of truth as opposed to the spirit of error, or else we're going to be led astray, as so many of God's people have been led astray in these last days. Notice Acts 1 and verse 6. It says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. Christ said to his disciples, After that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In other words, it's going to take the power of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that is a spirit of truth. It's going to take that power for you to fulfill God's will, to carry out with this mission, to reach the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to need to be filled with power. You're going to need to be filled with God's Spirit. I mean, even the way the Bible describes or talks about God's Spirit, it makes it obvious what it is. It's God's power. It's not a separate entity in a three-in-one Trinity. There's nothing in the Bible that proves that. There's all kinds of scriptures that disprove it. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, "Stir up the Spirit of God in you." He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Don't quench the Spirit." And that tells us it circulates, it flows, just like John 7 says. Rivers of living water comes from the divine source, who is God, our Father. It comes into our lives and then it flows out in the form of fruits. The fruits of the Spirit, as they're called in Galatians 5. The fruits of love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance, faith. We go to God as the source of power. We ask God for His Spirit. Luke 11 and verse 13. And God gives His Spirit to those who obey His laws. We've got to be doers. Acts 5:32. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you able to discern the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Notice Romans 5. Romans 5. I don't have it in my notes, so I'll have to turn to it here quickly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says here, "But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us. He sure did. He laid down His life. He sacrificed His life so that those past sins, once repented of, could be blotted out. Verse 9, it says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So it doesn't just end with the sacrifice of Christ. It doesn't just end God's plan of salvation. It doesn't just end with the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Well, you've probably been told, if you haven't listened to this program before, you've probably been told that you're saved by His death. No, we're reconciled to God. We can establish contact with God upon repentance and faith and baptism and the laying on of hands. But then we're, from that point forward, we're saved by His life. We're saved by the life of the resurrected Christ. We're saved by Jesus Christ living in us by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's how Christ can live in you and me. That's how the Spirit of truth can dwell in your mind and in mine. Notice Galatians and chapter 2. Galatians 2 here, familiar verse. The Apostle Paul writing, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. I've been crucified. I've died with Christ. That old man is dead and buried. And now I'm walking in newness of life. Notice verse 19, just to back up. It says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Study Romans 6 sometime, the baptism chapter, and see what happens at baptism. The break you're making from your past and the new life that you lead in Christ. Christ in you. Colossians 1 speaks of that as a great mystery. It is a great mystery in this world that's so confused about the true gospel, about the power of God's Holy Spirit, how that we're first begotten at conversion to the truth. We're first begotten as a son of God at baptism and the laying on of hands, and then later born as a spirit being at the return of Jesus Christ. Read Romans 8, verses 10 and 11. I'll go over to 1 John 4 here in conclusion. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Notice this. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see a lot of false prophets, not just in religion. You see them all over the media. You see them in business and government. You see them in Washington, D.C. They say one thing. They say they represent certain things. And the truth is exactly the opposite. So we better try the spirits. The spirit behind some of these, as I covered yesterday, these great swelling words of vanity. Now, one of the fruits of God's Spirit is meekness. So that's a pretty good clue that this might not be of the right spirit. When you hear someone rush to the microphone saying, we've got it all figured out, we know how to save the world, we know exactly what happened in this case, never mind the fact gathering, it's just guilty because it fits nicely within this narrative we've created. We better try the spirits or we're going to be deceived. It says in verse 2, hereby know you, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming, it should read, in the flesh, is of God. How does Jesus Christ come in the flesh? How does he live in your life, in your mind? He does that by the power of God's Spirit. Jesus Christ lives. He's at the right hand of God, even now. And he's living his life all over again in those who are truly repentant and who have received the Spirit of God after baptism and the laying on of hands. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to call the toll-free number to request some of the literature I've plugged here on today's broadcast. The number is 1-866-930-3024. Email us as well, td@thetrumpet.com. We're grateful that you joined us for today's show, and we'll see you next week.